Well, let's look in Genesis chapter 4. In Genesis chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in the verse 1, read down to verse 15. I want to share a message entitled Anger Against Righteousness out of Genesis chapter 4. Now, Genesis is a hard book to find. It's the first book in the Bible. Amen. We'll give you a few moments to get there. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've begotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thine hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful to have the Bible before us. We're thankful to be able to just sing songs of praise and worship tonight, be able to take time to study the Word together. I pray that we might be able to learn some practical truths and principles that will help us in our Christian life. Certainly, we can understand and see the conflict here between two brothers. And Lord, it was over how they approached God. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be able to be gracious enough to share the truth of the Word of God and the gospel of Christ with others. And Lord, that we might be mindful of the fact that there are those that respond in a negative way to the preaching of the gospel of Christ. And Lord, may we pray for them. May we be concerned about them. May we understand that, God, you're still a God of grace and mercy that extends that grace and mercy to them that they might one day be saved. And so, Lord, I pray that you just bless the preaching of the Word of God tonight. We rejoice in the opportunity to read the Bible tonight and preach from it. So bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 5 is our text verse. It says, But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell, anger against righteousness. One of the things that have always been perplexing to me since I've been saved is the fact of the very negative, aggressive spirit and attitude of people who knew your life before you trust Christ as your Savior, and then after you get saved and your life changes and you start to live a holy, righteous life, how angry and resentful they get towards you because of living a life that's clean and holy and pure. And I've never been able to comprehend the depth and the understanding of why they would be so aggressive towards a life that is changed for the better. And yet they'll stay in their lifestyles and they'll ruin their lives and they'll ruin their opportunities really to be a testimony of God's grace working in their life. They certainly reject the gospel of Christ. And yet they go on for years and years and years and suffer so many consequences for their actions, and they still get angry because of the fact that you try to live a righteous life. And that's the story here, as Cain and Abel are conceived and born. The problem was Cain's offering was not accepted of God, but Abel's offering was. And as a result of it, there is anger in Cain against his own brother. This is a chapter, we see a terrible thing taking place. And the thing that's taking place is not just a murder, but it's the murder of someone's brother. And he takes his own brother's life. This chapter is full of emotions. It's amazing. Notice verse 1 and 2 that there is emotions in reference to joy. It says, "And Abel, I'm sorry, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. And she said, I've gotten a man up from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." I see the emotion of joy of a man and a woman being blessed of God to have children. And children are a heritage of the Lord. And the blessing is when someone has a child, how pleasant it is and how enjoying it is. And here she's blessed with two children. She's rejoicing in that. So there's joy that is here as the blessings of children arrive. There is also jealousy here in this chapter, which is based on sibling rivalry. Years ago, and I should say years ago, we're still doing it. My brothers and my sister, you know, it's always like, well, Mom liked you better, you know. And we still go with that whole thing. Like, Michael, you're the favorite because you're the firstborn and all this, that, and the other. And, well, she likes my sister was always daddy's little girl. You know, we have this sibling rivalry thing going on. And my dad, if we ever got in a fight with my sister and we were tormenting her or whatever, my dad would make us walk around all day holding her hand. So there was nothing worse punishment than a brother having to walk around holding his sister's hand all day long. So I left her alone, amen. But you get this sibling rivalry. Of course, that was just fun stuff, stupid stuff that kids do. But this jealousy, this rivalry in this family between two brothers was fierce. I mean, it was so fierce that literally it came to a place and it came to a head that Cain takes the life of his brother Abel. Notice there's spirituality here, because we see in this chapter worship of God. In verse 4, Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. So there was spirituality in this chapter. There we see the worship of God taking place, and certainly Abel must have received that instruction from his father and mother in reference to the animal that was slain when they had sinned and the blood was shed and their sins were covered because of the slaying of the animal, that Abel comes into the presence of God to worship God based on that principle of a blood sacrifice. So there's spirituality in this chapter. But in the midst of spirituality, there's also anger. Anger against man and also anger against God. In verse 5, "And Cain, but unto Cain and unto his offering he had not respect." So certainly we see Cain was offering some type of worship to God. But the problem was he did not bring a blood sacrifice. And because he did not bring a blood sacrifice, God would not receive that worship. And so as a result of it, Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. And the problem is, especially among Christians today in 2016, is we've been taught for the last 20, 30 years that it doesn't matter how you worship God as long as you worship. And the reality is God does not receive some worship. And there is a proper way to worship God, and there is an improper way to worship God. And when you say that, I'll tell you, people get mad at you real fast. And so here's Abel worshiping the Lord through the design that God has established and was accepted. You have Cain worshiping God through his own means, and he was rejected, and his anger came to the surface. He's not just angry at his brother, he's angry at God. And may I say, when you're angry with someone and you're
go after someone or you harm someone, ultimately it's not that person you're lashing out at. You're lashing out at God. Because man is created in the image of God. And when you do anything to man, you are literally lashing out to God Almighty. So anger against man and against God. I see also there's verse 7, there's rebellion. They just were not doing right. God tells Cain, he says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And so there's rebellion in this life of Cain. And oftentimes when I deal with students in the school or even in church and dealing with this spirit of disobedience, rebellion, I'll mention this verse because the bottom line, if thou doest well, won't you be accepted? Well, I don't think it's fair that I have to be disciplined. If you do right, you won't be disciplined. It's very simple principle that there is blessings when you do right and there are consequences and suffering when you do wrong. And so God says, listen, if you do well, you know you'll be accepted. But if you don't, sin lieth at the door. So there's rebellion here. Notice in verse 8, there are accusations, which are evaluations of motives in verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel's brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Now I can only imagine, knowing human nature, what that conversation must have been like. For when anybody lashes out at someone, it is because they have developed accusations in their mind or on their heart, whether true or valid or not, they have already developed their justification for coming against that individual. And so there's allegations here against this matter of the motives of why Abel did what he did in offering the sacrifice that he offered. And Cain was angry at that. And because of this evaluation of Abel's motives, he lashes out at him, kills him. Notice there's also fear in this chapter. In verse 13, it says, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Fear, worry, and anxiety about the future. Cain understands that, wait a minute, he has taken the life of his brother, and God is aware of it, and God is bringing chastisement upon him. And because of the chastening nature of God, Cain is like, I can't bear to face tomorrow because I don't know what suffering and consequences I'm going to go through because of my wrongdoing. So there's fear that develops worry and anxiety about the future. But in verse 15, there's compassion. In verse 15, it says, the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken upon him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any find him, should kill him. And so there's compassion in that when God exercises his wrath upon Cain, he also remembers mercy. He says, well, Cain's concern was that whoever would find him would kill him. And God said, well, I'll put a mark on you. I'll put my protection on you. And anyone who brings vengeance against you, I will bring vengeance sevenfold upon them. And even in Cain's wrongdoing, God is showing forth mercy and grace towards him. I'm telling you, this chapter, these 15 verses are full of all kinds of emotional stresses and dysfunctional relationships, and which brings forth the loss of life. And so anger against righteousness. This is all birthed out of the fact that Cain was angry against his brother Abel, and it was directly in reference to the offering and the sacrifice and the worship that he had brought before his God. And so people in society, in our homes, in our churches, on the job, are so angry and so antagonistic against the Christian. It's becoming very alarming as I watch news clips and look at what's going on. It's becoming very alarming of how aggressive the world has become in thinking that the Christian is the enemy of the peace of our society. And it's because of the fact that we know that God has designed and planned for a certain way for people to be and to live, and we hold to those standards and those guidelines to live in accordance with God's commands and moral law, and as a result of that, literally, they'll become angry and mad at you because you will not fit into society, and you will not allow society to move upon you. You know, Jonah, God had to rebuke Jonah because of the fact of his anger over Nineveh being saved. Can you imagine God calling you to be a preacher and God sending you to preach the gospel, God sending you to a place that were packed full of heathens and they needed the grace of God. You fight with God, you run away from your responsibility, God turns you around, takes you through Whale University and gets you prepared for the ministry that he wants you to do. And then you go and God blesses and souls get saved. There's revival, there's conversion, it takes place. And the response of the preacher is he's mad. It's an amazing thing. In Jonah chapter 4 and verse 1 says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly and he was very angry. Don't get angry if somebody gets right with God. Don't get angry if someone literally starts getting on fire for God and you just aren't really on fire for God yet. Don't get upset with others who get mad at you because of the fact that you want to live a Christian life. And so Jonah was displeased and he was angry. In verse 2 it says that he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thou thee of evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? You know, the worst position that you can be in is to be so emotionally distraught and distressed over the fact that God in his grace and his mercy will do something on behalf of someone else that maybe you aren't too happy about that. Let me ask you something. What if all of a sudden there was a great revival and all these Muslims were getting saved who were the terrorists? How would you feel about that? Would you have anger and say, well, wait a minute, what they did to us? Or would you rejoice and be excited, exceedingly happy and thrilled that, hallelujah, God saved their soul? I tell you, circumstances in life can manipulate our emotions to the point that we have a wrong response to what it is that God wants to do in light of his mercy and his grace. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, Paul tells the believers, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And Cain's problem was he allowed this anger against what was going on in Abel's life to work and fester in his life, to finally it exposed him to the temptation and the influence and the manipulation of the devil himself, and he takes the life of his brother. Now we have to be careful, because if we allow our emotions to get out of control, any one of us in this building tonight could do something that would be devastating to us, our family, maybe to someone else as an individual. We could end up falling into the trap like Cain and be so full of anger and resentment that we could literally take someone else's life. And so we need God's grace, we need God's help in understanding this anger against righteousness. So here's the first thing. Why did Cain get so angry? I think, first of all, the way to God is obscure. In other words, it's hard for them to comprehend what it is that God is doing and why God would require what he required in this means of worshiping him. And the world, listen, to the world, the way to God is obscure. They can't comprehend it. They can't understand it. They cannot grasp the reality of why it has to be that way, nor do they want to be told that it has to be one way. They want to be able to embrace multiple ways to God. So the way to God is obscured. First of all, the means. Here, what is going on in Cain's life? These are questions that have to be answered. The means to get to God, is it a work of God or is it a work of man? See, man in his flesh, like Cain, he wants to make it a work that he can do. Because if man can do it in his own abilities and talents, then now he has something to pridefully boast about. But by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so understand there will be people that are unsaved who will be angry if you try to live a holy, righteous life because of the fact their comprehension is you're just doing it on your own and you think you're better than I am. When in reality, all we're doing is allowing the grace of God to flow through us and the righteousness of Christ that is in us to be manifested in our personal life. And they take offense to that and because they do not understand the means to God is a work of God in us. It's not of our own abilities. Cain needed to answer the question, the means to God, is it through divine sacrifice or human effort? See, Cain had in his mind as he worked and tilled the ground that, wait a minute, all that he is doing, that's human effort, that certainly should be acceptable to God because of look at all that I am doing. But in reality, the way that Adam and Eve were reconciled unto their God was by the slaying of the animal, by the sacrifice that was offered. And that established a principle by which man can be reconciled unto God, even to the point in the life of Abraham when he takes Isaac up onto Mount Moriah. God provides a ram for him to offer as a sacrifice. Why? Because the means of getting to God is always through a divine sacrifice and not through human effort. If we are focused on human effort, we will always be frustrated and angry against others who seemingly are doing something that we cannot achieve. And so Cain is upset with him. Notice the question needs to be answered. Is it by the blood or by the field? By the blood or by the field. Much of religion today is for the fact that the way we can approach God is by our own human efforts and things that we have in this life. It's not through the blood. Many songs, new songs that are written are not singing about the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not singing about redemption and atonement through the blood. Many hymnals take out the words in reference to blood. And all this, that, and the other, when we sing the old songs, they rewrite the songs. You have to watch out for all these songs that come on. And I know even on our computer system, when we go to look up a song, we're going to put a song on. You have to be careful. You can't just take what's in the system and put it on the screen. Because when you compare it to the hymnals, many times there's at least one verse, sometimes two verses, that has been changed that are theologically incorrect. It is amazing. You can't just go to the store and buy a hymnal. You got to read through the songs and see what they have changed. Because man is always wanting to take away from the reality of the necessity of the blood sacrifice that had to be offered. And why is that? Because he's angry against God because God said there's one way and only one way. And this is the means by which you can have worship and praise of me. And they don't want to do it that way. They want to do it their own way. So the anger against righteousness is experienced because of the way of God to God is obscure in the world by the means. The mask. Here's the mask that they have. Man is blinded. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:3, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are blinded. By whom? The God of this world. And so Cain is not understanding that while he's rejecting Abel's offering that was accepted of God, that his anger is developing under this guise of a blinder that God, that Satan has put on his eyes and over his heart so that he cannot comprehend the way to God. And because of the fact that Satan wants to keep him lost and on his way to hell. And so man is blinded. And so don't get angry against someone who gets angry with you because you're a Christian. Because they do not understand what you experience. They do not understand the deliverance of God. They do not comprehend the gospel of Christ. They're blinded by the god of this world. Not only is man blinded, but man will not be persuaded. In Acts 26, when Paul is before King Agrippa, King Agrippa's response was, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." I don't know how many people I've witnessed to over the years, and they're just that close to getting saved. It's amazing. They're that close. And you say, well, look, they won't get saved. They just put it off. And then you say, okay, well, I'll be back. And you go back the next week and talk to them. And I'm telling you, they're cold as a stone. They're hard as a rock. And because the devil comes along and he gets them to a place where they reject the gospel of Christ. And they're almost persuaded, but you can't get them to take that point, that step of getting right with God. It's amazing to me that in those situations that the person you're witnessing to, all of a sudden, who was open, friendly, excited about me sharing, now all of a sudden becomes very upset, very aggressive, and very quickly says, I don't want you here, don't come back anymore. And so understand that man will not be persuaded if he is blinded. But also man lives a life of procrastination. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he was speaking to the Sadducees in Acts 17 in verse 32, their response was them to Paul was, we'll hear you on this matter later. And so because man is blinded and refuses to be persuaded, he will always, as they say, kick the can down the road. We'll talk about it later. I know about that. I'll get saved before I die. The reality is you don't know how long you're going to live, and you don't know the means by which your life will be taken from you, whether it be an immediate accident that your life is snatched away in a moment, in a second. You don't know if you have that opportunity to trust Christ. And so here is Cain. He's angry against his brother, because the way to God is obscure. He's not comprehending. He's not understanding. He's not accepting what God has set as a means by which he could be worshiped by Cain and be able to experience the blessings of God. So understand when you're witnessing to people, yes, they are going to have anger against you. Family members, you get saved, start living for God. Family members become very aggressive. A family can be harsh, man. I'll tell you what, they can be brutal. And you have to understand that, wait a minute, their eyes are blinded, and you need to pray for God's grace to open their eyes and ask God to do a work of mercy in their hearts so that they might come to know Christ the way the Bible outlines the opportunity to know Christ and not in their own ways. I remember years ago when we started witnessing to Joanne's family, and many of them said, you have your religion, we have ours. Man, how many times people say that? You have your religion, I have mine. It's not about religion. Cain had religion. Abel had salvation. And so they can't get through their head because the way to God to them is obscure because they hold to the religions rather than come to a relationship with Christ. So the way to God is obscure. Because of that, it created anger in Cain because he perceived that Cain thought he was better than what he was. And how many times I've heard that over the years. Oh, you born-again Christians, you think you're better than everybody. And all the times they'll say, you born-again Christians, you think you're the only ones going to heaven. Well, we Baptists don't think we're the only ones going to heaven, but born-again Christians are the only ones going to heaven. Amen? And they just don't understand it. So understand where the anger comes from when you deal with people that are unsaved. Notice the people of God are obedient. And so here is Abel being obedient unto the Lord, bringing the sacrifice that was required of God. Cain being rebellious and disobedient. I remember Dr. Vanneman years ago used to say the Bible, in reference to the Bible, this book is not a book of better ways, it is a book of commands. And the people of God need to be obedient to what God has said. And, you know, I often joke around about it, but years ago when my wife and I got saved, we didn't know any better. If the Bible said you can't eat shrimp, we stopped eating shrimp. You know, I mean, we started reading through the Old Testament, and we're going through the dietary laws, and I'm like, wow, I didn't know we were not allowed to eat this stuff. I like that stuff. I like pork, amen? It's not like a good pork chop. And then you're reading through there, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, well, God says you can't do it, then we're not doing it. May I say, that is how simplistic the Christian life is. What God so commands, that's what the Christian is to do. And I'm glad we got to the New Testament, amen? And we got the shrimp and the pork and everything else out, and we started having a feast. But but God, listen, God will bless your ignorant obedience more than he will bless your willful disobedience. So just obey what God says. And so this is a book of commands. The exhortation of James in James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Just simple thing. Abel was obedient to what God said. Cain was disobedient. And so the principle that we have to deal with, even though people may be angry because your lifestyle is different, your commitment level is different, you still need to respond to the exhortation of James that, wait a minute, I just don't want to hear what the Word of God says. I need to obey what it says. Notice the example of the Apostle Paul. I'm sorry, not the Apostle Paul, but the apostles in the book of Acts. When they were confronted and told that they were no longer to preach in the name of Jesus Christ, their response was that we ought to obey God rather than man. And so we come to a place of knowing that, wait a minute, I just need to obey what God says. If God has said we're to proclaim the news, good news, he has told us that we're to share with others who Christ is, then we just simply need to do it. That's all there is to it. Just follow the example of the apostles, adhere to the exhortation of James, and then there's this matter of the endurance of the affliction. And when the problems come, there's anger against you, endure it. Praise God. I don't think there's any one of us that are going to have to face, well, I shouldn't say that. I pray that we don't. I shouldn't have to face so much anger against us that we lose our life. But the reality is, that as the world becomes more and more aggressive against Christianity, the reality is there may be people that will lose their life for Christ. But we are to endure to the end. We're to endure afflictions. And 1 Thessalonians 1:3 says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. And in verse 9 he says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. In verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Oftentimes we think about the believers in the early church and think they had it easy, but the reality is that the believers in the early church suffered great persecution and affliction. And there has nothing been as easy of living the Christian life to what we enjoy in America. You know, we have all these freedoms and all these privileges and all these opportunities to worship and live the Christian life as we see the Bible commanding us to live that, and yet we struggle with it. And we need to come to a place where we understand that the way to God by the unbeliever is obscured. They can't comprehend it, but they need to see us as believers obeying what God has so stated. Yes, Cain got aggressive with Abel because Abel just obeyed what God had commanded him. And yes, there are those that will become aggressive because you obey the Lord. And people don't understand that. I remember when I surrendered to go to ministry, I found out later, I didn't know this when I left, but my dad was newly saved. He was a young Christian. I remember later on, I found out that when I left, that my dad had made the statement. He said, well, I got saved and God took my son away from me. because we always farmed together. We always drove tractor and trailer together. We did everything together. We went fishing together, hunting together, all these things. We did all these things together, and God saved me. God called me to preach, and we packed our bags, and we left. I mean, we were in Bible college in less than 9 months after we got saved. And people could not comprehend that. My pastor was upset that I left. He said, "Well, you just got saved. You ought to stick around here longer. You shouldn't be leaving right now." And I said, "No, I'm 27 years old. I got to get out of here. I'm going to be 28 when I go to Bible college. I'll be 32 when I graduate. I'm losing time fast. I got to get out of here. I'm gone." And he was upset with me. I found out that my pastor from the church that I went to as a kid heard that I got saved, I got born again and surrendered ministry, and was very upset that I got saved and became a fundamental independent Baptist preacher. Now, I couldn't understand that. I still can't understand that. But you need to endure affliction, obeying what God has so commanded us, because in the process of obeying what God has commanded us, there are blessings irregardless of the aggressive nature of those who are against us. You say, "Well, Abel lost his life." He lost his life, went into the presence of God. And so we need to endure affliction so that people of God are obedient. It creates anger in people. Notice faith in God is obligated. And I just put down a couple of definitions here. In other words, just as Abel was obligated to worship his God by faith, Cain was obligated to worship his God by faith. And so obligated carries with it the definition of to be bind, to bind, to compel, or to constrain by a social, legal, or moral tie. And so we are obligated. We are constrained to be bound to our God through faith. To obligate someone means to be absolutely indispensable or essential. And so just as much as Abel was essentially responsible to have faith in his God's way of sacrifice, Cain was too. And God is no respecter of persons, and he puts us in a position of obligation that we, if we are going to be a child of God, if we're going to be saved, if we're going to worship God, then we are going to have to do it through faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so he was obligated to do so. And it was demonstrated this way through Abel's offerings. Now, Abel's offering was by faith, and that Abel's offering by faith was in God's redemption plan. And God's redemption was only through only one means. And so here is Cain coming to God with his offering, which was different than the offering of Abel. And so Cain's problem was he thought that he could experience God's redemption through multiple ways of receiving that redemption, whereas Abel comes with one means of sacrifice, and that sacrifice was an animal who had been slain and the blood had been shed. And so there is only one means by which we can be redeemed, and that's through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We're not redeemed with corruptible things, Paul tells us. But how are we redeemed? We are redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. So Cain's offering was an offering of faith in God's redemption through one means. You say, "Well, this is elementary. I understand that." Well, you need to know how to communicate this to the person who's angry. You need to communicate to this person, to the person like Cain, who resents the fact that you're a born-again Christian. You need to be able to help them to have the blinders taken off so they understand what is it that God did when he sent his son into this world. He sent him in as a means of paying our sin debt to redeem us. And because the sin debt is paid, it can only be accomplished through one source or one means, and that's Jesus Christ. Abel's offering was by faith in God's salvation. So the salvation was through only one way. Of course, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And how hard is that so many times just to get people to understand that God has only one way of salvation? Because they have been taught that God accepts everyone, that God loves everyone, that God will embrace everyone. They have been taught over and over again that God, because He's a God of love, will never reject anyone. And the reality is that God has provided one means of salvation, and that's it. That's it. There's no other way. And so we need to help them to come to that place of receiving Christ. But we also, Cain's offering was by faith in God's justification through only one person. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have to come to a place of knowing that we are justified in the eyes of God only through Jesus Christ and that alone. That's why churches cannot make you justified. Ocean County Baptist Church cannot justify you in the eyes of God. The Catholic Church, Presbyterian Church, the Methodist Church, whatever the church is, put the name in front of the name church, whatever it is, they cannot justify one living soul to God. The only person that can do that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So faith in God is obligated. And see, people don't want any strings attached. We're living in an era of non-committal. Don't expect me to be surrendered to this situation in this way and this opportunity. And Cain wanted, he wanted to be able to experience worship of God as he would choose to do it at the moment he desired to do it. No. There's only justification through one means, and that's through the sacrifice that has been offered by Jesus Christ. So anger against righteousness. I want to try to help you to understand how to deal with people when they get upset with you because you're a Christian. You know, people come over your house years ago. My wife and I did this. People come over your house. Nobody visits you, but they'll come visit you on Sunday afternoon. And we just started saying, well, great, I'm so glad you're here. We'd like to take you to church with us. Man, God has been doing some great things. They stopped coming over on Sunday afternoon. You know, they used to get mad at us, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. You can come over to my house all you want, but don't bring your booze with you. Oh, what do you mean? No, you can come over here. Don't bring that beer with you. Leave it out. You don't bring that into my house. And they would get so angry against us, and we would try to communicate and help them to understand why we live the way we do and why we do what we do, and it's because of the fact that God has so commanded us to be so. And so I know emotionally, I mean, they just get like Cain, where they just get so aggressive. And wait a minute, don't allow their aggressive nature to create in you a vengeful spirit. But you need to love them in the Lord. You need to pray for them. You need to witness to them. You need to not, listen, you'll not win them to Christ by compromising with them. You know, over the years I've seen people, they say, well, you know, family, you know, they just really had strong ties and strong draws, and they just don't think I love them and all that. I'm just going to kind of back off, and I'm going to give up some things and so I can go ahead and be with my family. You know what? I have never seen one person lead their family to the Lord by doing that. I haven't. It doesn't work, because what they do, in their minds, they've won, because now they've drawn you to a place where they are now manipulating your life rather than you being an influence in them to come to Christ. And so understand they're blinded. Understand they cannot comprehend obedience to God. And know that, listen, if you're going to be able to win them to Christ, you need to show them that God is real and that He has made a major significant difference in your life. Abel would not back off from offering the sacrifice that God had designed to be sacrificed when Cain was angry with him. And don't back off from what God has called us to be because somebody gets angry with you because of your life of commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Anger against righteousness. I don't think I'll ever comprehend it and understand it, but I know it's there, and I know what I need to do in response to it. I need to keep worshiping God like Cain, like Abel did. I need to keep walking with the Lord like Abel did. I need to be stand up even in the face of persecution and suffering. I need to walk with the Lord, irregardless of what's going on. Abel never bent to the angry emotional responses of Cain against him. You say, well, he lost his life. He didn't lose. The problem is sometimes we think, well, if somebody loses their life for standing for God, they lost. They didn't lose anything. And they went into the presence of the Lord and they experienced the blessings and rewards of God. And you know what I've found over the years is that when you do that, you literally, down the road, people will come to know Christ as their Savior. There's been funerals that I have done in the last 30 years of people who were good, solid Christians, who family members were always mad and upset with them because the way they lived their Christian life. And when I did their funeral, those people that were mad got saved. They didn't lose. Listen, they didn't lose when they died. They gained. And I want you to know this, you never lose with Christ. You never lose when you live for righteousness' sake. Oh, you may have conflicts and controversies, but you never lose when you walk with God. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for the Lord took him. And you can go through Hebrews chapter 11 and see all the places of all the believers that trusted the Lord through faith and see God's blessing and rewards in their life. So don't be shook up by anger against your righteousness that you're trying to live out according to the plan and the will of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be together tonight. Lord, we know human nature is a strange thing sometimes. Lord, the way people respond, the way they act, the emotions that overwhelm them, and certainly when those emotions come against the believer because of their love and devotion to their God. Help us to be faithful and strong. Help us never to retreat. Help us never to give up. Help us to always be faithful. And Lord, may our life of faithfulness and dedication and righteousness in your eyes, Lord, be one that will influence our friends, our family, our loved ones, those in the world to come to know Christ, of how he can truly make a difference in any man's life. And so I pray for your blessing tonight. Strengthen us by your grace. Lord, help us to be that shining light in the dark place, Lord, that will point people to Jesus Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's